As we turn our attention to the book of Acts, we see the apostles carrying out the Great Commission. We also learn about the apostle Paul, who was converted to Christ. Saul of Tarsus became a Christian. In 1 Corinthians 15, we learn that he became an apostle out of due season. And as you study the book of Acts, you will see the Apostle Paul carrying out various missionary journeys. We see that the book of Acts records three missionary journeys, and Paul would go throughout the various regions proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. We see the establishment of the congregation at Ephesus, the establishment of the congregation of Thessalonica. In Acts 18, we read about the congregation at Corinth and many other congregations that the Apostle Paul worked with. And as you consider the Apostle Paul's preaching, you will see the Apostle Paul was inspired by the Holy Spirit. Holy men of God spake as they were being moved or are guided by the Holy Spirit. The apostles had received the Spirit, thus the mind of God, and they revealed the mind of God. And so when we consider apostolic preaching, we will see that one of the things that the apostles spoke about was the judgment. And the apostle Paul would speak about that judgment day when he proclaimed the gospel. In Acts chapter 17, Paul went into Athens and he preached to the Epicureans and the Stoics on Mars Hill. He proclaimed the truth of God's Word, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then he is going to point to the judgment in Acts chapter 17, beginning at verse number 30, when he says, "The times of ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. For he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness." Paul is encouraging individuals to respond to the gospel before it was everlasting too late. And he reminds them concerning that judgment day that would come, when Christ would judge the world in righteousness. Judgment was part of their proclamation of the gospel. Another example that comes to mind, and this was when Paul spoke to an individual. You remember when Paul spoke to Felix and Paul reasoned with Felix? In Acts 24, verse 25, he reasoned with Felix concerning righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. People need to understand that there's going to be a day of judgment. I appreciate that last song that we just sang together. There's a great day coming. Again, that song is all about the judgment. As we stop and think about Judgment Day, that great day, judgment is real. Judgment is certain. We learn in Hebrews 9, verse number 28, that Christ is coming back a second time, not to offer another sacrifice. In fact, the writer says he's coming back a second time without sin unto salvation. And the point that the Hebrew writer is making is that Christ is going to come back a second time to judge the world. In fact, when you back up to verse 27, we learn that it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Again, there is going to be a great day, a day of judgment. Christ is going to come back and judge this world. We mentioned the book of Acts. You go to Acts chapter 1. And in Acts chapter 1, we see Luke kind of picks up where he left off in his account of the gospel. We see that the apostles are meeting with the Lord. The Lord tells them to tarry in Jerusalem until they be endued with power on high. But here in Acts chapter 1, we see that the Lord was taken up. And listen to Acts 1, beginning at verse number 9. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. Again, Christ is coming back. He is coming back to judge this world. And so the question that I want to ask you this evening, question that I want to ask myself, are you ready for that great day? Are you ready for the judgment day where you will stand before Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and give an account of your life? We'll have more to say about what I just said, where we will stand before the judgment seat of Christ, where Christ will be the one judging us. Judgment is something that we should think about, and that's why we're talking about the judgment tonight. We talked about the Lord's second coming and what's going to happen on that day from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Well, tonight we're following up that lesson, talking about the judgment in a very general way. But go, if you would, to Matthew 24. And I want to begin here in Matthew 24 and emphasize a point. And we'll use this somewhat as a springboard into our lesson as we talk about the judgment day. Here in Matthew chapter 24, we see that Jesus is answering some questions that the apostles had asked. And you'll see that at the beginning of Matthew 24. Now, as you read through Matthew 24, Matthew 24 is probably one of the most misabused chapters, misunderstood chapters of the New Testament. The first part of Matthew 24 talks about the destruction of Jerusalem. As you go through Matthew 24, Jesus talks about the times, the seasons, when that would happen. And in fact, Jesus is going, and I find this to be interesting, and next week our lesson, I'm setting myself up here for failure, but that's okay. Next week our lesson is coming from Matthew 24, verse number 15. Jesus mentions about Daniel's prophecy. A very interesting prophecy, but we're going to look, Lord willing, next week at Daniel 9, that prophecy that Jesus alludes to here in Matthew 24, verse number 15. But again, that prophecy has to do with the destruction of Jerusalem. And you continue to read Matthew 24, and I want you to listen to verse number 33. So likewise, ye, when ye shall see all of these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. The destruction of Jerusalem is near when you see these things unfolding, the things that he's talked about leading up to verse number 33. But verse 34 to me is the key to grasping this context and keeping things in its context. Verily I say unto you, this generation, the generation that Jesus was speaking to, shall not pass to all these things. What things? The things that he just spoke about in Matthew 24, the destruction of Jerusalem. This generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall not pass away, but my words, shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Now notice the contrast, verse number 36. But. And we talked about that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. You see that conjunction, that preposition there in 1 Thessalonians 4 three times. And when you look at that preposition, you see that the Apostle Paul is changing subjects. He's still talking about the main point, but he's talking about various things. And so anytime you see the word but, it's a key word. Take note of what is being said. And listen to what Jesus says in verse number 36. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, not the angels in heaven, but my Father only. You see, Jesus is now answering that third question that His disciples asked back in chapter 24, verse 3, when they asked, when will the end of the world come? That's the third question that they ask our Lord about. He's now answering that question here in verse number 36. And He essentially says, you don't know when it's going to happen. And He continues to elaborate on that point concerning the second coming, concerning the judgment, concerning the destruction of Jerusalem. There's going to be telltale signs. In fact, Jesus says, when this happens, when you see those signs, get out of Jerusalem. Get out before it's too late. But concerning the judgment that we're talking about tonight, Jesus says, but of that day and hour knoweth no man. And then He talks about Noah. And then in verse number 42, listen to what He says. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour the Lord doth come. Know this, that if the good men of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, verse 44, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. I like these two thoughts, verse 42, verse 44. Watch and be ready. And so again, the question tonight is, are you really ready for that day? I hope each one of us thinks about this in a very serious, serious way. It's so important to live right as we see that day approaching. However you look at it, that may be way into the future, but as time continues on, we are getting closer and closer to that judgment day. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this judgment. If we die before Christ comes, there's that judgment takes place in a sense, because if we die before Christ comes, we'll either be in Abraham's bosom, and then, or we'll either be in torment. Think about that. Abraham's bosom or torment. That decision will be made at the point of death. But judgment day is coming. We need to be ready. We need to watch. Our lives need to be in harmony with the will of God so that we will be ready. And so let's think about some things that will occur on that day that might cause us to think deeper about that judgment day. First of all, on that day, the greatest crowd will assemble. On that day, the greatest crowd will assemble. You know, because of TV and social media and internet and everything else you can think of, we have seen some pretty large crowds, haven't we? I was just thinking about the Super Bowl, and I was just amazed watching the Super Bowl, and as the camera is going around the stadium to see all of those people. A year ago, I went to a UT game, and I was amazed. I felt like an ant. I was amazed at all of the people. It really messed with my mind a little bit. I had to stand back just for a minute and kind of gather myself because I've never been around that many people. And you're walking through these tunnels and it's shoulder to shoulder, and you sit down and it's shoulder to shoulder, and it's a very, very tight situation. And you look out, and this is what really messed with my mind. You're sitting there and you're looking out, and you just see people everywhere. We have probably seen some pretty large crowds in our life. But I want you to think about the day of judgment. Because on the day of judgment, the greatest crowd will assemble. And Scripture highlights that point for us. Turn, if you would, to Matthew chapter 25. What's interesting, as you're looking at Matthew 24, the last part of Matthew 24, it has to do with the judgment. Guess what? When you turn to Matthew 25, all of Matthew 25 has to do with the second coming of Christ, when Jesus will judge this world in righteousness. And look at this passage with me in Matthew chapter 25, beginning at verse number 31. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. Now watch verse 32. And before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. Notice that there in verse number 32. All nations shall be gathered before Jesus Christ. The greatest crowd will assemble on that day of judgment. All nations. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse number 10, Paul says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Jesus Christ." As the Apostle Paul was speaking to the Jews in Romans chapter 2, the Apostle Paul is going to get their attention. He's going to try to get their attention. And one of the ways that he does that is he talks about the judgment, that they were accountable to God, and he's going to say these words in Romans 2, verse 3, "Do you think you'll be able to escape the judgment of God?" Well, we know the answer to that question. Nobody is going to be able to escape the judgment of God, the judgment of Christ. All nations, all people will be there on that day of judgment. It will be the greatest crowd that will have ever assembled on the day of judgment. And you know what's sad? On that day, people will be surprised. On that day, many will think that this is a day of light. But as the prophet Amos said about the judgment upon the people in Amos 5, verse number 18, "Woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord, for it won't be a day of light, but it will be a day of darkness." And that will describe the judgment scene that we're talking about. Many are thinking that it will be a day of light, when in reality it will be a day of darkness, because so many will be unprepared on that day. For those who are unprepared, the language of Zephaniah 1, verse number 15, it will be a day of gloom. It will be a day of darkness. Now realize, Amos and Zephaniah were both speaking of the judgment that was coming upon the people. But the principles are still there for us today as we relate these things to the judgment that we're talking about tonight. when the greatest crowd will assemble. The majority of the people in this world will be unprepared for that day. And what a sight that will be when so many in the world realize that they are wrong. When so many in the world realize, you know what, there really is a God in heaven. And He is holding us accountable. Many will be surprised that there is a judgment, because look at how people live today. And people live in a way as if there is no judgment. But those who are wrong on this day will also bow and confess the greatest name they've ever confessed. Read Philippians 2, verse number 10. You take the ugliest person that you can think of, who has lashed out, who has spoken against God, blasphemed His name, spoken against His word. That individual will bow. If he doesn't repent before judgment, he will bow and confess the precious name of Jesus on that day. The greatest crowd will assemble on that day. Number two, on that day, the greatest separation will occur. The greatest separation. Go back, if you would, to Matthew chapter 25. And you'll notice in verse number 32, the greatest crowd, all nations. And then it says in verse number 32, and He shall separate them one from another as a sheep divided His sheep from the goats. Every time I read this, it reminds me of working cattle. Running cattle through the chute, separating the cattle. You have one individual that's sitting on the chute, opening the different gates. You think about that separation, spiritually speaking. There is going to be a separation between the righteous and the unrighteous. We learn in Psalm 1, verses 1 through 6, that the unrighteous will not stand with the righteous. On that day of judgment, all nations, all people will assemble on that day. They will be present. But there's also going to be a great separation between the righteous and the unrighteous. Between those who are prepared and unprepared. Again, you see this, I believe, in Matthew chapter 25 with the parable of the 10 virgins. 5 were foolish, 5 were prepared. You remember Matthew 25, verse 10? Those who were unprepared were knocking on the door, but it says the door was shut. You talk about a sobering thought as it relates to judgment. Those who were wrong and died wrong will wish that door was open. But it'll be too late, because there will be a great separation between the prepared and unprepared. Number three, on that day. On that day, we will stand before the greatest judge. The greatest crowd, the greatest separation. And number three, on that day, we will stand before the greatest judge. As we think about judgment, a lot of times we relate judgment to God, and rightfully so. But I want to be a little bit more specific in what I'm saying, because I believe it has great meaning. In John 5, verse 22, the Father judges no man, but hath committed all judgment to the Son. You see, God has given Christ all authority, Matthew 28, verse number 18. And since Christ has all authority, and since Christ is King of Kings, Lord of Lords, we also learn that He is the one that is going to judge us. We've mentioned several passages that really capture that idea of standing before Jesus Christ on that day of judgment. In 2 Corinthians 5 verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Acts chapter 17 verse 31, God hath appointed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man. That man is Jesus Christ. And Christ is qualified to be judged. Now you think about it in a very practical way and why this has so much meaning. Think about all of the different positions that Jesus takes on. He's our high priest. He is our advocate. He is our mediator. By the way, our advocate carries the idea of one who pleads our case. We have a divine defense attorney that will plead our case before the throne. If we have confessed Christ and lived for Christ, He'll confess us. If we've denied Christ, He will deny us. But He is also judge. He's prophet, He's priest, He's king. And again, think about all the different positions that He takes. But He is also judge. The one who died for you, the one who died for me, is the one that will judge me. Now, can you imagine those who are unprepared for that judgment seat of Christ? Can you imagine those individuals looking at their Lord in the eye and hearing the Lord say, I died for you. Why did you reject me? I invited you to salvation. Why didn't you come to me? Remember Matthew 11 verse 28, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I think about this picture. You remember when Peter denied the Lord three times and how the Lord looked at him? It might be that on that day, as God is judging this world in righteousness, that Christ might ask that question. Why did you reject me? Why didn't you come to me in obedience? You see, God has no desire for anybody to be lost. What God wants more than anything is for people to obtain salvation. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 9, we learn that God has appointed us unto a day of wrath, but unto salvation. What really matters to God is the salvation of lost souls through Jesus Christ to the glory of God. Jesus Christ, by the grace of God, Hebrews 2 verse 9, tasted death for every man, for every person. And so it will be a horrible day for those who were unprepared. It will be like what the Lord told Judas. It had been better for you to have never been born than to be lost on the day of judgment. On that day, the greatest crowd will assemble. The greatest separation will take place. And on that day, we will stand before the greatest judge, the judge of all the earth. And we learn in Genesis chapter 18, verse 24 and 25, the judge of all the earth will do right because Jesus is our righteous judge. And then finally, as we think about the judgment day, on that day, the greatest, listen to it, the greatest books ever written will be opened. The greatest books ever written will be opened. If you would, turn over to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Just read with me a couple of verses. In Philippians 4, Paul says, beginning at verse 1, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and I beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true young fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other fellow laborers, here's our point, whose names are written in the book of life. Have you ever really stopped to think about that? When you obeyed the gospel, remember Acts 2 verse 47, the Lord added you to the church. Well, here's another thought. When you obey the gospel, you're baptized in Christ, you're delivered from the power of darkness, you're translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son, Colossians 1 verse 30. Our citizenship is in heaven, Philippians 3 verse 20. Our names are written in the book of life, Philippians 4 verse number 3. But be careful, because in Revelation 3 verse 5, if we're not faithful, our names can be blotted out of the book of life. I had a member of the church ask me one time. She was discussing God's Word with a co-laborer, another woman there at work. And this other woman was a very religious person. And she was arguing that you can never fall from God's grace. And she was just adamant about that point. And she asked me, How would you approach that with this woman in that discussion? And I said, well, there's a lot of passages that you can turn to, but this might get her attention because it's thought-provoking. You show in Philippians chapter 4, 1 through 4, that our names are written in the book of life, and then you go over to Revelation 3, verse number 5, and you show her that your name could be blotted out of the book of life. And then, listen, you don't explain it to her. You ask her to explain that. Your name's written in the book of life, and the Lord says, I can blot your name out of the book of life. You can't blot something out that wasn't there in the first place. You see what I'm saying? You can fall from God's grace. And then you can show her passages that specifically mention that, like Galatians chapter 5, verse 6, you have fallen from grace. Yes, there's a context behind that. If you go back to the old law, you have fallen from grace. Take heed lest you fall, 1 Corinthians 10, verse number 12. You can fall from the Lord. You can drift away. However you look at it, your name can be blotted out of the book of life. The greatest books ever written will be open. Think about this book. The Word of God will be open. And we will be judged from the Word of God on that great day. Listen to what Jesus said in John 12, verse 48. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in that day. We have the authoritative Word of Christ contained in the New Testament. We are amenable to the Word of Christ, the New Testament. And we're going to be judged according to our deeds, according to our works, Romans 2, verse number 16. Those things that are found in God's Word. Let me be practical with you. Matthew 6, verse 33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Are you doing that? You're going to be judged according to that truth found in Matthew 6, verse number 33. In John 15, verse number 8, Jesus said, here is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. Are you bearing fruit unto God according to God's Holy Word? You're going to be judged according to John 15, verse number 8. Are you bringing forth the product of righteous living, holy living? Are you living a sanctified life? Let's go back to our series of lessons. In 1 Thessalonians 4, verse number 3, we learn that this is the will of God, even your sanctification. You're going to be judged according to that truth found in God's Word. In 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 5, Peter says, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and the virtue knowledge, and the knowledge temperance, and the temperance patience, and the patience godliness, and the godliness brotherly kindness, and the brotherly kindness love. For if these things be in you and abound, ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. We're going to be judged according to what Peter reveals in 2 Peter 1, 5 through 10. The greatest books on that day will be opened. The book of life, the Word of God, and our lives will be judged by that Word. I want to end by looking at something that we see in the Old Testament. You know, I've been thinking about the book of Daniel for the last few weeks. Book of Daniel is a fascinating book. It's a challenging book. Daniel was a fascinating individual. He was a very, very intelligent individual. I've always said there are Daniels and there are Amoses in the kingdom of God, and I am definitely no Daniel. I could probably relate a little bit more to God's unprofessional prophet Amos, right, as Johnny Ramsey used to say. But Daniel was a fascinating individual. Well, in Daniel chapter 5, we read about Belshazzar. And Belshazzar's he's having a feast. And Belshazzar was a very prideful individual. And you remember, he sees this handwriting on the wall. And he calls his people and he asks for the interpretation. And nobody was able to give Belshazzar the interpretation of the handwriting on the wall, the man with the hand. And you remember, Belshazzar learns about Daniel. And he calls for Daniel. And Daniel gives him the interpretation of that writing on the wall. And one of the things that Daniel says to Belshazzar in Daniel 5, verse 27, "You are weighed in the balances and are found wanting." That night, Belshazzar was slain. The question that I want to ask you tonight, question I want to ask myself tonight, are we weighed in the balances and found wanting? If you think about what we said tonight, Daniel 5, verse 27 shouldn't describe us. We shouldn't be found wanting, unprepared. We can have confidence on that day of judgment, according to 1 John 2, verse 28. And not be ashamed at His appearing. 1 John 4, verse 17, we can have boldness in that day of judgment. Friends, the only way that we can have that kind of confidence, that kind of boldness in the day of judgment, is by being in Christ, faithful to Christ, faithful to His holy Word. If that describes us, then we will be prepared. If it doesn't describe us, make those changes tonight. Don't procrastinate. Don't put it off. There is a great day coming. And everything that God gives us in His Word prepares us for eternity. Everything that you need to know is right here. We learn in 2 Peter 1, verse 3, according to His divine power, He has given us all things pertaining to life and godliness through knowledge. Life and godliness. How to become a Christian. How to live as a Christian. Are you a Christian? Are you living faithful as a Christian? If not, we hope that you will respond tonight as we stand and as we sing.